Not all meals are created equal. For instance, breakfast has the spicy egg McMuffin for a limited time, and lunch doesn't. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
I'm John Batchelor. Gregory Copley, my colleague, the editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs, joins me to comment on the geopolitical challenge of the aggression of the Eurasian powers. That would be the People's Republic of China and its colleague, that would be Moscow, the Russian Federation, and the response to from an old grouping of nations that is a new grouping of nations. The idea that Canada, the United Kingdom, Australia, and New Zealand can work together along with other elements of what is called the Anglosphere. But let us begin with a fact from November of 2020. During the virus, the United Kingdom, Boris Johnson's government, approved the largest increase in the defense budget since the end of the Cold War in 1990, £16.5 billion. This is in the middle of a pandemic with all the unknowns ahead. This is for shipbuilding, space, cyber research, and other sectors over the four fiscal years. Gregory, a very good evening to you. What does this mean about the threat from Eurasia and about the ability of these nations, once associated with the British Empire, now all English-speaking nations, to respond? Good evening to you, Gregory.
Good evening, John. Well, it's more than just a response to the threat posed by the People's Republic of China and the Communist Party of China to what is we like to call the world order. The reality is that this is Britain re-emerging from the European Union and reasserting itself as the historical Britain, the global Britain, the Britain which does have reach around the world. Now, to do this, it is resuming its links with the Commonwealth, which is, of course, a potent alliance of countries, most of which, all but two of which, had been British colonies in the past. So that's a great base for Britain to trade globally. It gives it privileged access, if you like, around the world for British goods and for British access to resources. Now, within the Commonwealth, there are three dominions, Australia, New Zealand, and Canada. These are not your traditional old British colonies because there are actually states which were created with the dominant British populations. So they have really become British countries abroad, and they're scattered around the world. And they, if you like, so they're Commonwealth, but they're, or, and former British Empire, but they are literally part of Britain in an emotional, historical, cultural sense. Those three countries plus Britain share a common head of state, Queen Elizabeth or the British Crown. They have the same basic parliamentary system of government. They share almost without any restraint all intelligence amongst each other. They have a common approach to defense structuring and operations. They have fought together in wars since their creation. So they are really as one. Now, the objective of this is to say, okay, well, yes, the Commonwealth is going to be critical to Britain going forward, and it's already emerging in that fashion. But the KANZUC countries, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the UK, are working now on mutual free trade agreements, which would be really comprehensive and are comprehensive. They will include free movement of peoples among the four countries so that the peoples of Australia, New Zealand, Canada, and the United Kingdom can go and live and work in each other's countries. There will be common approaches to doing business and legal structures and the like. So this gives you a very powerful system for Britain. It puts Britain back in as a major power. It would, the KANZUC group would have sovereign territory in the Arctic, the Antarctic, North Atlantic, South Atlantic, the Mediterranean, the Indian Ocean, and the North and South Pacific. This is an unparalleled, if you like, spread of territory. So going back to the old adage of the sun never setting on the British Empire, Well, the Kansas group embodies that. And you'd have something like the third largest defense budget in the world, the third or fourth largest economy in the world. And what Boris Johnson did to emphasize that was to stress how much expansion would go into Britain's autonomous capabilities as a defense power capable of global rejection. Not only did he talk about the reconstruction of the Royal Navy, which is now moving dramatically ahead with a lot of new types of frigates and destroyers, submarines and the like. They've got the two carrier strike groups up and running now. One is already operational and is about to leave for the Indo-Pacific region for a tour over to, as far as Japan. But Britain is also now the most advanced country in the world in the development of a new sixth-generation fighter aircraft. And that's happening outside of the European Union, obviously, although you've got a number of European countries interested in participating, particularly Italy, for example. So Britain is now, if you like, back in business. And it did so under Prime Minister Johnson at a time when the British economy was slowing down because of COVID in 2020. And so while before 2020, in 2019 or so, Britain's defense spending was around about 2% of GDP. And with the decline in GDP and the increase in spending in 2020, we're now seeing that British defense spending is well over the 2% of GDP and will continue in that direct trend. And so is that of Australia, by the way.
The surprise here, Gregory, if I read your essay correctly, is that it was assumed 15 years ago, 10 years ago, that the U.S. would be dominant in an Anglosphere organization, whatever, the Commonwealth and the U.S. would work together. That is now an open question, if I follow your reporting, that the U.S. is not necessarily a reliable member. Is that something that London, that Canberra, worry about? Do they have conversations about the fact that the U.S. is not predictable?
Of course they do, and that's been going on for some time, for the past, well, more than a decade. And of course, during the Cold War and post-Cold War, the United States, as the lead in the Western alliances, whether it's NATO or ANZUS, the treaty and so on, was fairly domineering of its junior partners, and that included the United Kingdom. Whilst Britain always talked about the special relationship with the United States truly did not think of its relationship with Britain as being a special relationship, except for Donald Trump. Trump actually did value that relationship, but the reality is that that's gone by the board under the Biden administration. Biden administration is anxious to punish Britain, anxious to rebuild U.S. relationships with Western Europe, despite the fact that the European Union itself is disintegrating visibly before our eyes. And it's true that the United States will have to play a role in bolstering its relationships with the various European powers and is doing so. The latest being the Italians have sent an aircraft carrier over to take aboard F-35Bs, these vertical short takeoff, vertical landing fighter aircraft, which they'll probably put onto their carriers. So, I mean, there are all these links there, but the reality is that the European Union is disintegrating, and what will emerge out of that are some revived European states, Italy being one of them, but particularly France, of course.
Are the doubts about the U.S., I just want to hang on this one for just a moment, are the doubts about the U.S. personality-based? Is this something, you mentioned Donald Trump, is Joe Biden a figure who has raised doubts in Whitehall about common purpose, about national security?
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, Mr. Biden has actually shown that he has a greater preference for supporting the Republic of Ireland, which is a member of the European Union, and using his efforts to try to bolster the Republic of Ireland's position vis-a-vis Britain in trade and the like, and in the soft border which exists between the Republic of Ireland, Southern Ireland, and Northern Ireland. And this has been greatly damaging to Britain and the Biden administration, and then President-elect Biden himself said that the U.S. would punish Britain for literally marginalizing the Republic of Ireland, forgetting that the Republic of Ireland itself with the European Union were the ones that were trying to marginalize Britain with the whole Brexit situation.
Let's turn to the United Kingdom then. If London has assumed that the US is no longer reliable and that there might even be enmity, what are the challenges that the United Kingdom can face alone or in conjunction with CANZUC, including the former colonies and parts of the world that speak English? So with Gregory Copley of Defense and Foreign Affairs, we're addressing the brave new world of the US is a question mark as it stands alone in opposing Russia and China. However, it doesn't stand with its traditional ceremonials, most of the 20th century allies. I'm John Batchelor with Gregory Copley of Defense and Foreign Affairs.
What if every student had a tutor and personalized learning was available to everyone? What if every family had a financial guide and their investments made for an optimistic future? What if every doctor could diagnose you in seconds and healthcare visits felt more personal? What if your business never slept and every customer's shopping experience felt like it was designed especially for them? It can with Agentforce, the powerful AI from Salesforce.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
This message is sponsored by Greenlight. With school out, summer is the perfect time to teach our kids real-world money skills they'll use forever. Greenlight is a debit card and the number one family finance and safety app used by millions of families, helping kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely. Parents can send their kids money and track their spending and saving, while kids build money confidence and skills in fun ways. Start your risk-free Greenlight trial today at greenlight.com/iHeart. That's greenlight.com/iHeart.